Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Wednesday, March 23rd, day 13 of 9/11 on trial. This is Lisa Giuliani, and you're watching Wing TV.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We've now surpassed the halfway mark of our trial. And whether you know it or not, folks, this is history in the making. This is archived now forever on this site, and we're showing this is the people's trial. This is what we could do if we could get through the courtroom doors and prove this case between a jury of our peers. So we'd also like to say thank you to everyone who's sending the kind comments, including Judy up there in New York. It's very much appreciated. So folks, keep tuning in to 9/11 on trial, and it's becoming crystal clear the government's official version of events is a lie.
Today's testimony will be with witness number 9, and we are going to address the pancake theory. Now let's join the proceedings with Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your Honor, today we have witness 9, who is going to speak about the pancake theory. Witness number 9, please state your name for the record.
Camilla Gilyard.
Very good. Okay, my first question today is, let's return to the point when each plane impacted the World Trade Center towers. What effect did they have on these buildings, specifically the inner core?
The central core was still mostly intact, especially in the South Tower, where any significant heating would have been near the corner the plane struck, and the core could not have been hit by any major parts of the plane.
Very good. Now, except for the exact moment and point of impact, how did the outer frame hold up?
The outer frame is still intact at this point.
And as our previous witnesses showed, how the fires did not burn hot enough to melt the steel in these buildings, what would have happened to this steel?
Before it breaks, hot steel begins to bend.
And after that, what happens then?
This redistributes the forces in the structure and puts elastic stress on those parts that are still cool.
Now, would this be a symmetric or asymmetric process?
This process is asymmetric, so the structure should visibly bend before breaking.
In regard to the World Trade Center towers, did they bend over after they caught on fire?
No. No steel skyscraper has ever bent over in a fire.
Okay. Now, since the damage to each tower was asymmetric or uneven, in that it didn't hit every section of the building with the same amount of force, what problem does this pose to the government's pancake theory, where one floor fell upon another below it and subsequently pancaked to the ground?
Well, one problem with the pancake theory is that it is wholly dependent on a perfectly symmetrical failure of the floor slabs, even though the damage to the buildings was clearly asymmetrical.
Now, did the fires burn symmetrically, that is, in perfect uniformity through each building?
The fire certainly did not burn uniformly throughout the damaged floors.
Does this scenario, then, lend itself to a perfectly symmetrical collapse?
For the destruction to be complete, the collapse of the initial floor slabs would have had to be perfectly uniform. Every point of connection around the perimeter of the core and every point of connection around the exterior shell would have had to fail at precisely the same moment in time.
Very good. And does this same scenario pertain to each successive floor?
Yes. Each successive floor would have had to fail in exactly the same perfectly uniform manner, unerringly all the way down the line.
Well, with this process, can there be a margin of error?
When the pancake effect has to course through 110 floors, there isn't really any margin for error. And yet both towers, as we all know, pancaked into oblivion in matching perfectly choreographed collapses.
And as we've shown, the impact and damage to each tower was markedly different. How can they collapse then in the exact same fashion?
Remarkably enough, the two towers somehow collapsed in exactly the same manner, even though the initial damage to each tower was quite different.
Especially in the South Tower.
The South Tower was hit with a more glancing blow through the southeast corner of the building, in such a way that the plane likely did minimal damage to the tower's core.
Okay, then. Hypothetically, in your opinion, if each floor did pancake to the ground, what would we expect to find?
We are still left with no explanation of what happened to those massive concrete and steel cores.
Please explain a little bit more.
Clearly, the floor slabs were hardly the wide-open pancakes depicted in deceptive media graphics. In truth, the pancake theory, at best, offers only an explanation of how the floor and exterior wall sections may have collapsed. Even if such an extremely unlikely event had occurred, the end result would not have been a 60-foot-high mound of rubble.
Well then, what would we have seen?
When the platters fell, those quarter-mile-high central steel columns, at least from the ground to the fire, should have been left standing naked and unsupported in the air.
Okay, let me take a moment then and note that from earlier testimony that there were no flammable materials contained within these cores, only steel and concrete, so they couldn't burn. Plus, temperatures did not get high enough for them to melt. Also then, what would have been the effect on the core had the floors let loose?
As the floor panels let go from their mountings, the load would be relieved from the core columns, leaving it to stand balanced momentarily.
Did these inner columns then remain standing on the morning of 9/11 after all the floors pancaked to the ground?
No. In the case of both buildings, everything let go at once.
So then, did the floors and the perimeter columns fall at the same time as these massive central cores made of enormously strong steel and concrete which had no flammable materials?
No. Given the undeniable sequence, the floors fell as a consequence of the core column collapse, not the reverse.
So why then is the pancake theory a complete fallacy?
With the core columns obviously collapsing first, there had to have been something to breach the vertical integrity of the 47 steel columns early in the collapse, not later.
Did this same exact process apply to World Trade Center Building Number 1, World Trade Center Building Number 2, and also WTC 7?
Yes. Three buildings collapsed in this fashion.
And how could these steel columns have collapsed in such a total, complete, symmetrical fashion?
Well, according to Peter Meyer, who is quoted in David Ray Griffin's The New Pearl Harbor, this is understandable if the base of the steel columns were destroyed by explosives at the level of the bedrock. With those bases obliterated and the supporting steel columns shattered by explosions at various levels in the towers, the upper floors lost all support and collapsed to the ground level in about 10 seconds.
Okay, finally, and I'd like to thank you for appearing today, how would you classify such a process?
The collapse was an example of a controlled demolition based on explosives that had been placed throughout the building.
Thank you very much. No further questions, Your Honor.